Are you joking? Is this some kind of prank? In other versions of this with the men, Peter and the rest of the disciples, that's what they say when the women come to tell them. They tell them that they went to the tomb and Jesus was not there, and that a man told them, "He's not here, he has risen." And the men laugh at them and say, "Are you joking?" And I think it's the guy in the middle, right? He's like, "Are you joking? No, that's really what happened." It's appropriate that Peter doesn't get it. A running theme in the story of Jesus is that Peter doesn't get it. It's okay, because Peter still gets to be the rock on which the church is set, but he's kind of dense, Peter. Jesus has to keep telling him how it is. No, everyone. God loves everyone. "Surely you're joking," they said. "Everyone, not sex workers, not immigrants, not protesters, the hungry, the poor, the sick, not them." "Yes, them," says Jesus. "No, I'm not joking." But I think it's better to imagine Jesus with a sense of humor. Found this one, I love this. So it says underneath, renouncing the image of Jesus as a melancholy aesthetic, a progressive theologian calls out for his resurrection as a joyous revolutionary. This story actually appeared in a 1960s edition of Playboy magazine. And this picture got more complaint letters than anything else they've ever run in the history of the magazine. How dare you say he was joyful? Good storytellers have a sense of humor. And Jesus was a great storyteller. Imagine him winking when he says, "Give Caesar what is Caesar's." Imagine him laughing out loud when everyone takes their spare bread out of their bag and suddenly there's enough food for thousands. Imagine him giggling with anticipation when he walks through the storm on the water. "Just wait till they see me now." Imagine him chuckling to himself when his mom says, "Jesus, you got to turn the water into wine." Here's a great Jesus joke for April Fools, by the way. Jesus and the disciples are out to eat. And Jesus gets the bill and looks and says to them, "Which of you fools ordered wine?" Don't you take it awful hard, because I laugh like I've got gold mines digging in my own backyard. Maya Angelou's poem is resistance, both personal and social. "Still I rise. You may try to hold me down, but out of the huts of history's shame, I rise." Resistance. Easter is about resistance. Don't let them tell you otherwise. Jesus dies because of state-sanctioned violence. He is murdered by the state. As if, he was shot dead in his grandparents' backyard, to name one of too many examples. And yet the story says, he is not here, he is risen. For me, this isn't about the resurrection of the body, it's about the resurrection of the spirit. It's not about the next life, it's about this one. It's about resistance and the spirit of love and the power of hope and the longing for justice. You think, you colonizer, you empire, you think you ended this fight for justice, this struggle for freedom, because you killed one of its many prophets? Just you wait and see. Still we rise. Oh, there will be setbacks. The struggle is never won. We must rise again and again and again and again, for the power of the empire is strong. It adapts and co-opts and twists, and we must remain nimble. But who are we to bet against glory? For every night a child is born is a holy night, and just when you think it is lost, when you think that nothing can be done to change what is, a child comes. I shared with my colleagues that image of Jesus laughing, and I said, the problem with that image is he's way too white. Jesus wasn't white. Someone said, well, how about this one? Here's another laughing Jesus. Every night a child is born is a holy night, and just when you think it is lost, when you think that nothing can be done to change what is, a child comes. A son of a carpenter from a backwater village, a prince who leaves the palace behind, a sex worker who becomes a poet and knows why the caged bird sings, a preacher's son with a dream, a survivor of violence who has the courage to call BS on the depraved idea that the blood of children is an acceptable price for so-called freedom. Every night a child is born is a holy night. And today, this morning, when hope rises, when the green shoots rise, when we sing Alleluia, and when at once children laugh and we gather perhaps with those we love, I'm thinking of a very particular child. A child who knows the power of laughter is the power of truth. A child who might lead us to rise, to get up, to rise up, to sing out. A very particular child, maybe you know the one I mean, the child who says, but Mom, the emperor isn't wearing any clothes. That's the one. The spirit of the trickster Jesus of Coyote of Hope has inhabited that child. Is this not the message of Jesus' ministry as well as the story of the resurrection? The Roman Empire thinks it is all that. But it ain't. Does my sassiness upset you? Oh, and you think I come to replace one empire with another, to play the killmonger in this story? No, I come to transform from within. Blessed are those who are the peacemakers, who love from their heart, not for duty or appearance. Blessed are the hurting, the grieving, the lost, the forgotten, the children. Bring me the children, he says, and laughs and laughs. The poet Wendell Berry, in his masterpiece Manifesto, Mad Farmer Liberation Front, writes, so friends, every day do something that won't compute. Laugh. Laughter is immeasurable. Be joyful, though you have considered all the facts. He concludes, practice resurrection. Practice resurrection. That's our theme for the month, resurrection. And when I told some of you that a few weeks ago, you shuddered. Bad memories, I think. Take a deep breath. Let us not lose this metaphor because some have used it badly. For there are many ways to rise, to come alive again, as the earth does each year, as we might in our own lives. Perhaps the Jesus story does nothing for you. That's okay. It's just as it's okay if the Jesus story means everything to you. Either way, I invite you to practice resurrection right here and right now. To practice in part through laughter, to rise through sassiness, through verve, through resistance. To laugh is to refuse to surrender your humanity. It is to say, but Mom, the emperor has no clothes, and the empire in the end means nothing. It is to say, I am human. It is to refuse to be colonized. And it is at least an openness to the refusal to be a colonizer, although that takes more work. It is to say that there is something worth living for. Joy, peace, flowers, music, beauty. Not all is lost, and there is more to the story. I've been thinking a lot about the Parkland kids. I've been thinking about them as real people. They tell jokes and they take selfies and they weep and they play and they organize and they play video games. They're 17. One critic, it boggles my mind that there are critics, one critic said, look, in this photo they're smiling, they must not be grieving. As an expert in grief, I can tell you that's nonsense. It's nonsense. If the empire takes your capacity for laughter, then it has truly won. Does my joy upset you? Still I rise. Who are we to bet against glory? A new day dawns once more, the gift is given, and what shall we do? Practice resurrection. Rise. How do we do that? The poet tells us, celebrate your body. Feel its tender beauty. Celebrate the scars and the wrinkles well earned. Good job. Breathe in. Move. Practice resurrection. Feast on the joys of life. Dig in the dirt. I think one reason Christianity caught on is that the followers celebrated by eating and drinking. What fool ordered the wine? Jesus laughs and toasts, Lashem, to life. Rise. Challenge authority. Don't submit to what is evil. Make your own way. Refuse to give up. Imagine a kingdom worth living in. Don't use the master's tools to dismantle the master's house. Make new tools. When the emperor is naked, say so. Practice resurrection. Treat people with respect, even folks you disagree with. The fight for justice doesn't have to be bitter. Go high. Love the lost. See the hurting soul behind the anger, the need behind the greed, and the fear behind the cynicism. Love the hell out of the world. Love it right out until the universalist vision is true and all are in fact reconciled to the power of love. Rise. Make music. Sing, even if you were once told you couldn't. Sing. Look at me. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. Does that stop me? Hell no. Sing. Practice resurrection. Make art. Paint. Sculpt. Weave. Write. See beauty more than utility. Hear music more than noise. Wonder more than you know. Rise. Make love that is loving. Weave real connections. Grieve the dead and remember them. Celebrate new life without hesitation. Lo, the day of days is here. Rise, rise, rise up. Who are we to bet against glory? Look, I'm not saying it's easy. It's hard. Mary, Jesus' friend, and Mary, his mother, there are a lot of Marys in this story, so don't get confused about which one is which. Both the Marys and Salome, their friend, they are afraid. At first, they don't tell anyone. Later, they do, but it is terrifying sometimes to challenge all that you know, to see the world with new eyes, to rise. It's hard. When the empire seems so strong, and is, for some of us, so seductive. It offers us the power and privilege of the Pharisee, the local potentate. You still have to bow to Rome, but you get something out of the deal. Just don't rise too far. For others, there is no deal. Just the threat that if you are sassy, if you refuse to surrender your humanity in an inhumane world, then pain will come to you and all you love. The child who says the emperor has no clothes is not always respected. Often they are attacked. Must be a crisis actor. This is not easy, not for a second. Yet what we know of human history is that the tug to rise, to come alive, to love one another, to be more just and more kind is hardwired into almost all of us. We stumble, we err, we fail, but we still strive. Glory comes in the morning and we get up and we do it again. This is true too. It's not easy, but people do it over and over again. Life finds a way, hope finds a way, love finds a way. How? When it's hard, what then? One more Jesus joke on this day of days. The real miracle, it is said, is not that he healed the sick or turned water into wine. The real miracle is that a man in his early 30s had 12 close friends. Who has that many friends? That's amazing. Of course, someone had to say, well, actually, 11 friends and one frenemy. Yet, this is actually the clue, right? Because to practice resurrection, to come alive, what works best for the hard parts is company, community, others. To pick you up when you fall, to inspire you, to comfort you, to challenge you, to sing with you, to admire your art, to hold your hand, to share a meal with. You can't take communion by yourself. It's called communion. It's about being together. It's how we move from still I rise to still we rise. We rise, we reach, we come alive, we make each other come alive when we think we have lost our way. We do it together. Every night a child is born is a holy night, and every morning the sun rises and the gift is given again. This is a holy day. This day, so is tomorrow, and the next day, and the day after that. Every day is a chance to rise again, to come alive, to live the life you dream of, to join in community with others, that we might build together the world we dream of. Every day is a new day. Sing hallelujah. Every person is holy, a potential prophet of love. Sing hallelujah. Every moment contains the whole universe. Every place is sacred ground. Every day is a new day. Sing hallelujah. We are not alone. Still we rise. The world is beautiful. Still we rise. The world needs repair. Still we rise. Our lives are holy. Still we rise. We are not yet finished. Still we rise. Justice and mercy are needed in the world. Still we rise. There is goodness and joy and laughter in the world. Still we rise. The empire is not as important as it thinks it is. Still we rise. You are more holy than you think you are. Still we rise. We can sing, still we rise. The story isn't over, we rise. You are not alone. Still we rise. We can sing, still we rise. Let us rise together and sing.
Thank you.
I'll extinguish our chalice, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These things we carry with us until we are together again, and I invite you, if you wish, to join hands with one another for our blessings and benedictions. Reverend Clark Dewey Wells wrote these words, "God of Easter and infrequent spring, announce the large covenant to deceitful lands. Drive the sweet liquor through our parched veins. Lure us to fresh schemes of life. Rouse us from tiredness, self-pity. Wet us for use. Fire us with good passion. Restore in us the love of living. Bind us to fear and hope again." We'll sing together our closing blessing. We'll sing it through twice.